This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Conference Cut Players Edition. And we encourage you to stay to the end for this. Luke Masterson, Wake Forest linebacker, friend of the show. Yeah, right.
Yep, that's correct.
Packs rolled out some numbers to you. 64 first downs, 700 yards of rushing.
They've given up.
Yeah.
That's giving up.
It's not been a pair of sparkling efforts statistically, but two wins. So what does Luke Masterson say after seeing the Army offense and what that does to maybe question where you are as a team?
Yeah, it's definitely a weird game plan going into Army. And, you know, we talked about that. There's not much that's going to carry over from Army to the next games. But in terms of executing a game plan, taking a game plan and learning it and executing it on our part, that'll obviously carry throughout the rest of the season. So trying to fine-tune stuff like that, tackling, getting off blocks, those will all carry out throughout the rest of the season. So taking those, learning from our mistakes and going forward.
There you go. Well done. Let's move on to Charlottesville. Ready?
Shall we?
Nick Jackson, one of the top tacklers in the ACC. Is there any extra motivation Saturday night in Provo because your head coach used to be their head coach?
But I just think that, like, yeah, I mean, as a competitor, you want to win these games. I mean, you're going to BYU in a very good environment, and you got to play some good football to beat them. And then you got all those other games. But, I mean, we want to focus on being 1-0 each week. So 1-0 each week, and that's going to put us in success. We can't look too far ahead.
How many points do you think are scored in that game? Is that going to be a...
You're like an over-under type thing?
Like, is that going to be like a 45-42 game? Is that going to be a 24-17? Because BYU plays keep away. What do you think that game is going to look like?
I think that game looks like 42-30, 38-27, like that.
How many numbers? Wait a minute. What was the numbers again?
42-30 or 38-27 type game.
All right. Yeah, I think that's an – I'm telling you, of all the games this weekend in college football, I'm not just talking about the ACC, that game has a chance to be one of those on Monday you're talking about going, man, did you see the Virginia-BYU game?
Right. No, I'm with you.
Because it's not going to get the marquee – cocktail party, Big Ten showdowns. It's going to fly underneath that radar.
Yeah.
But it has a chance to be really, really good.
Yeah.
Both of them can play.
Agree. Off to Chapel Hill, Sam Howell. Is he excited about going to South Bend on Saturday?
We're super excited to go up there. It's a great atmosphere. Just so much tradition up there at Notre Dame, and such a really good football program and a really good football team. They have a lot of really good players on their team, and they're led by a lot of really good coaches. So, you know, for us, we're just excited for the opportunity. We're excited for the challenge to go up there and play a really good football team in a really cool environment. Something that, you know, a lot of people have on their bucket list to go play or watch a game at Notre Dame. So, you know, it's definitely a cool opportunity for our team, and we're excited to go up there, and we're excited for the challenge.
And really excited that Kyle Hamilton won't be a headache when I have the ball in my hands. You heard Mike Tirico.
Takes away a really good
Hamilton
player.
Hamilton is a ubiquitous.
Really good player.
He's all over the joint now. Sam Howell's got to lick his chops knowing he doesn't have to deal with Hamilton. But it's still, a lot of things have to fall right for the Heels, though, this weekend.
Agree. To answer your question about BYU, Virginia, some people think that the combined total will be around 64.
64. Those are smart people out in Vegas? Is that what you're
Clark
telling me?
County
out
Nevada.
In the desert?
Clark County, Nevada.
64,
yeah.
Huh? So they're thinking like a 34-31 game.
Yeah.
That could be.
Yeah.
Those guys are normally pretty accurate, I've found.
We're not supposed to have favorites. We love all and serve all on this show, but Dax Hollifield would be one of our favorites, wouldn't he? Remember, he was supposed to send us the lunch pail, the hard hat. We haven't gotten it yet.
How's that worked out?
Well, Dax was kind of moving when I saw him a few weeks ago. So he was, once he got the boxes settled and everything, he's in season.
Is it right up there with the Ronnie Cycli jersey we're going to get from Tirico?
No, we're getting a Wendell Alexis or Raphael Addison jersey from Tirico. We're not getting anybody of note now.
You snobs down there in the ACC.
Yeah, it was funny.
I love that.
Dax was asked this week, how has practice been given the emotional loss and frustrating loss Saturday to the Cuse?
I think that had been. I don't think we had been practicing the way we usually had the past couple weeks, in my opinion. the way it's supposed to look. And we definitely got that right today. I can promise you that we practiced the way the game demands. So, yeah, I would say that if we execution is always, you always have to execute during practice, execute the call, show what you know what you're doing, but just the running to the ball, the thudding up, taking good angles, just the little things, the finishing of the play is really what we focused on today. Not just getting to the right spot, really just getting to the right spot, but giving you the right angle to make a play on the running back, not let him have a two-way go so he can go the way and you miss a tackle, you know what I'm saying? Really all that stuff, making everybody run to the ball. Just, like I said, Jay hasn't been mentioning it a lot, but Bud, you say it all the time, like, the game demands, you know what I'm saying? There's a standard that the game, football, has set, and we had to live up to that, and I feel like we sort of got lazy the past couple weeks, but we're getting back to that when it comes to that.
You know, Dax is talking about what the game demands. I'll tell you what I demand. I demand that jacket tomorrow driving around in the cheer of the champions and the free fly hat. Dax was dressed for the elements to be a cross-country champion driver. He looked the part, didn't he?
In every way.
I was buying what he was selling. The game demands what the game demands. I'm going
with
that.
How good would he be to have on set every week?
Oh, I'm in. He can be my tag team partner, that guy right there.
Yeah. There you go.
He's got that faraway look in his eye when he's talking to you, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's a football player, man.
Jermaine Johnson's next. He's got that look.
We talked to him this week.
Has anything changed in practice this week to get ready for Clemson?
Practice is intense. We understand what kind of game we got on Saturday, what kind of team we're about to face. Both of us haven't had the seasons we wanted, but we definitely both want this win. So we're both going there knowing it's going to be a dogfight. We're practicing like it, both sides of the ball. It's a real intense practice. We're just getting ready for a dogfight.
I don't know who's going to be out there at tackle for Clemson, but I bet they got a lot of 11 on tape this week. Holy smokes.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to Dabo this afternoon.
I bet you are.
Something tells me, we always do Thursdays. Yeah. Something tells me I'm going to hear, hey, Pac, that number 11's hard to block. Because Dabo is like a NASCAR guy, right? Mm-hmm, he doesn't tell me the name.
Give you the numbers.
47's a good player. Number 17, he'll be talking about number 11 today. I guarantee it. Guarantee it.
Holy cow.
Having a great year.
Yes, he is. All right.
And that game just feels close to me.
I agree.
Right?
Yes.
Clemson can't score, and I think Florida State going on the road will find life difficult against that defense.
Right.
It just feels like another one of these 2017-17-14 things. Might be wrong.
We'll turnover, see. Big play.
Just feels that way.
Somewhere there.
Might be dead wrong, but we'll see.
All right. Buckle up here, kids. Matt Bockhorst, who was injured Saturday at Pittsburgh for the Tigers, and essentially his career has come to an end, spoke to the media this week. We could play you about a half hour of this, but of in particular note here, he was asked how much his folks mean to him and what that moment was like the first time he saw them after the injury on Saturday at Heinz Field.
Just devastating. You know, you just look your mother in the eyes and just know that she hurts for you. And like I said, I can't even explain the amount of sacrifices that my parents have made for me. And even just the amount of times I get to see my parents. They live 7 hours away. And I see them almost every weekend, in season and the off season. And my parents have become part of Clemson family. And my little brother is a freshman. And Clemson football means something to them. They're so invested in this. And my dad knows what it's like to put on the pads and give it your all. And he knows that the game has meant so much to me. And I'm very thankful that I had that opportunity to share that moment with him. And I also want to thank Thad Turnham Seed, who spent all day Saturday with me, and that's another person who, you know, might not be in the limelight, but somebody who I appreciate. And for him to take the time and be there with me and make sure I wasn't alone and communicate with my parents is something that I will never forget. And it's hard. It's very hard to experience this. But like I said, to have my family by my side is what matters in the end.
Definitely know you've reached the end, isn't it?
Oh, man.
Really tough.
And you know what? The emotions of the game are amazing when it ends unexpectedly or it ends in a way you didn't think it would end. And that is something that if you're in my business, you never lose that idea. If you see it happen enough, you always respect the fact that when you go to a locker room after a game or you go to a post-game situation at the end of a season or after an injury, you realize, okay, you always got to be mindful, is this going to be it?
Right.
I've only seen smiles at the end of a disappointing season one time, and that was Tony Gonzalez's retirement in Atlanta. Elsewise, when the season ends or an injury takes away the season, it's a hard deal. It's a really hard deal. And I feel for Matt Bockhorst.
I do too.
I really do. I feel for any kid that goes through that, any player that goes through
who gets hurt. I mean, and that's why, you know, when we go through an injury list, and we've done it a bunch here lately, you realize the amount of time and effort and sacrifices the student-athletes go through to entertain us. And that's why, you know, people that are booing in stands and throwing stuff on the field and bags over your heads, I mean, it's embarrassing. I mean, you just kind of understand what these young folks are going through, not to mention the pressures to perform. And, oh, by the way, they're going to class, and if they have a name, image, and likeness deal or whatever the case may be, I mean, it's an incredible sacrifice to go through it. And, yeah, do they get some great perks and free education? Yes, they do. But understand, when you're in the stands and you're sitting there booing somebody because of the performance, you get a life. Seriously, get a life. Enjoy the journey. Right? As a fan, as a player, absolutely, as a coach, a broadcaster, what we do for a living, I say it all the time, man, love every week and just embrace it because it doesn't last forever.
No. No, it doesn't. And when it ends, again, unexpectedly, like Saturday for Bockhorst, it's the worst. It's the worst. And, you know, when programs reach that point, like he mentioned Thad Turnipseed, he mentioned his parents, when the infrastructure around a program is complete and a coach has time to put everything in place, that can ease the pain a little bit, but it's still hard.
Right.
Still hard.
Yeah, it's tough.
So thanks to Clemson for sharing that with us, and thanks to Drew and Josh for pulling that together. Man, was that good. Holy smokes. When we come back on this year program, Scott Satterfield, in case you missed it from yesterday, Louisville's got a big one Saturday night in Raleigh. You will hear from the coach of the Cards next from yesterday's edition of Packer and Durham. Tell you what, Louisville looked kind of the part both ways the other night against Boston College. Can they process it to Raleigh? We'll hear from Coach Sat next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hey, we ramp up our basketball coverage next Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. Kelsey Riggs with KG and Coach McGraw. The Nothing But Net Women's Season Preview, Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. There you go.
Hoops will soon be here. It is sneaking up on us.
It would be week after next, sir.
Yep. About here,
the
boys
9th
and girls
of November.
It's about here.
Yep. So there you go. Mark Herzlick coming up in about, 10 minutes or so. Yesterday, Scott Satterfield was with us, the Louisville head coach. Cards had a 2-touchdown victory against Boston College and Louisville on Saturday, and now they head to Raleigh. And we started our visit yesterday by saying one win just kind of increases the stakes for the next one, doesn't it?
It's coming off of two tough losses for us. You know, we played Battle of Wake Forest right down to a – I think there was 22 seconds or 18 seconds left on a field goal, and Virginia was the same thing on the last second field goal that we didn't make. And then we had that bye week. So the bye week was good for us. We got to heal up a little bit. And you got to play a really good Boston College team coming in at 4-2. And, you know, we're excited about that game. And our guys went out and prepared very, very well for that game. And then that was a big win for us. And now it just sets up a big-time game, you know, playing NC State down in Raleigh this weekend. So we're excited about that as well.
Coach, everybody always talks about the quarterbacks in this league, and you've got one. But I, before we get to Malik Cunningham, I want you to brag about this offensive line because I think that's where it starts. I mean, you got your guys, the last couple of weeks in particular, have really, really done a nice job up front.
Yeah, they've done an unbelievable job. We've got a veteran group up here. We finally got healthy, too. I think that bye week really helped the guys up front. We had a couple of guys that missed a game or two prior to this last game. And when they came back, I think BC was giving up 126 rushing per game, and they put it upon themselves, listen, let's be able to run this football. And, you know, we rushed for 331. They've been protecting Cunningham big time as well. You know, he's had a lot of clean pockets this year. The last couple of years, we've been awful at tackles for loss and sacks given up, and I think this year we're top 15 in the country in both of those categories. And all that does is keep you on the routine of sticks and not having those long yardage situations. And so, a lot of kudos to our boys up front. We're playing about seven guys on a big-time rotation right there, and they're playing really well. Particularly this week, Caleb Chandler was the ACC lineman of the week, and he had an outstanding game.
Coach, your ability to run and your ability to stop their run seemed to be the kind of the real yin and the yang in the win.
Yeah, that was big. You know, coming in, we know Boston College as a team, historically over the years, have had some outstanding running backs, and really it starts up front for them. You know, a lot of respect for what they can do up front and their offensive line. And, you know, and our defense had given up some points and some yards the prior 2 weeks. And they'd been hearing a lot of things negatively. And, man, they responded. What a game for them to be able to stop that run. You know, really try to force them to throw the football. And, you know, and that was obviously in our favor. So, yeah, Coach Brown and our defensive staff and our players, man, what an outstanding game. You know, we turned the ball over, which we haven't been doing this year, but they responded and got three turnovers themselves on our defensive side. So that really really kept us in the game and enabled us to win it by there in the fourth quarter.
All right, hadn't had that many turnovers in a ball game, I think, in about 4 years, and you produced a win, obviously, in doing it. How do you coach that? Because you weren't making the turnovers in lack of detail. It was more like you were trying to make plays and turning the ball over, right?
Yeah, no question. The two interceptions that Malik had, a great play by their corner, number 10. We tried to force a ball to Marshawn, and number 9 made a great play. But the two really disappointing ones were the two fumbles. But by there in the second half, you know, it started raining in there. They still got to hold on to the football. But BC did a good job of stripping the ball and getting the ball out. But, it's something that we've harped on in the offseason about taking care of the football and really have done a really good job of that. Hopefully that was just one of those one games that – the one-offs that you can't have, and we still survived it. And I think that due to the fact of the way our defense have played and forcing those three turnovers.
Coach, the quarterback play in this league has just been awesome. I mean, it's the only way to describe it. But I can make the case, I think, that Malik Cunningham is the most underrated quarterback in the country. And again, you see him every day in practice. You see him on game days. He can beat you with his legs. He can beat you with his arms. You talked about his patience, how good the line's been playing. Big picture, what's been the difference with Malik Cunningham this year?
Well, I think, first of all, I agree with you. He is underrated. And, you know, he's such a playmaker. Talk to any coach we're getting ready to play, and they'll talk him up. I guarantee you that. I mean, he's just so deadly with his legs. But he can throw the football. And, you know, like we talked about, our offensive line giving him a clean pocket. He can make all the throws. He's got a very accurate arm. He can throw the deep ball, the intermediate pass, and obviously the quick game. And then where he's dangerous is when he gets outside of the pocket, you know, with our naked game off our run game and our play action game. And the thing that makes him so much better this year, I think, just is his poise and his command of the offense. When he comes off the field, you know, it's just like we're having a conversation. He's not, you know, all over the place with it. He knows what he sees out there. And when you're like that and you're calm and cool and, you just let the game come to you. And he's been able to do that this year. That's why we've been in every game this whole season, I think, just the way he's been playing. And I think he's going to continue to get better and better. You know, it was a big talk about, hey, we lost a lot of players off last year's team that had a lot of production. And this year, You know, we've done it by committee, a lot of different receivers, you know, several different backs. The one mainstay has been Cunningham, and he's been a great player for us in this offense.
Let me just give you, this is the official scoreboard when Wes and I do our accounting. And if I know you probably can't look in there real tight, but you know what? We both got you right there in the five spot in the league. So,
well, that's good, you know, but here in about 5 weeks, we want to be up there toward the top, you know.
And let me tell you.
That's going to play itself out.
That's exactly right. And it starts this weekend because you're going to go play somebody that right now that we both currently have in front of Louisville. And, you know, you get a chance to take it on the road. And I do think when you knocked off Florida State away from home, because I know that's one of the things that had to be on your list before the season is, hey, everybody's good at home. But to get to that next level, we got to start winning some games away from Louisville. And you did that at Florida State. Now you're walking into what's going to be a pit because NC State's coming off a tough loss. They've lost some great personnel this week. You know it's a great challenge, but these are the kind of games that you got to win, though, right? I mean, the big picture, yeah. Hey, NC State, top 25 team, you know they are. Dave's done a great job. They're experienced, and they're coming off a loss. So, you know, you're going to have your hands full. But these are the games we can't wait to watch. This is the fun part.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's going to be a great football game. You know, Dave's done an outstanding job with that program at NC State. They have a lot of good players, you know, and they expect to win. You know, the one thing that stands out when you watch their film, man, they play hard. They play hard on every phase of the game, I think, as a complete team, whether it be special teams, offense, or defense. And I know they lost a couple of players this past weekend. You know, you get this time of season, you know, everybody's got some dings and some guys that miss games. And, you know, it's next man up mentality. So we know we're going to get their best shot. And, you know, they're coming off that loss that you mentioned down in Miami, a tough loss, lost by 1 point. And, you know, and again, going on the road in a hostile environment, it's Halloween weekend, I think it's homecoming down in Raleigh. So there's a lot of things going on. And, you know, we're playing a primetime spot on ACC Network. So we're excited about it. And, you know, for us, an opportunity and a chance to go out there and get another win in this conference where anybody can win on any Saturday. It doesn't matter. You better show up.
There you go. There's the coach of the Cardinals.
That's a good game Saturday night. Woo! Really, really good game. And a lot of pressure on NC State. Like I said, they've got to stay within arm's distance of Wake Forest. Have to. Getting into November.
That's right. Yeah. And it's just one game, whereas like in the Coastal, Virginia and Pitt, it's two.
That's right.
So, you know, you can – in the Atlantic, you've got a little bit tighter math than in the Coastal.
That's exactly right.
So, all right, Mark Herzlich coming up next. He's headed to Pittsburgh, ironically, to see the Panthers and the Canes on Saturday. We'll talk to Herz, get his thoughts on what he expects at high noon from Heinz Field when Packer and Durham's Thursday rolls on the ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Kerr in Durham.
Yeah,
Chester,
boy.
Fuller, Pilot Ron. Captain Ron's not here today.
No, Captain Ron's flying drones, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
Otto's rocking and rolling. He's got the,
Where's Robert? Robert's gone, too.
Robert and Captain Ron are gone today, but Otto's in the back checking, making sure Mrs. P's beer collection in the fridge is good to go, 100%.
Tell you what we ought to do. Let's take this show to Connecticut. Get our man Herzlich up here because he'll be at Heinz Field with Chris Cotter, Jalen Johnson on Saturday. Panthers welcome the Hurricanes high noon right here on ACC Network. Mark, I got to tell you, this one feels spicy. Miami coming off the NC State win. Pittsburgh riding a little emotional wave of beating Clemson. Pitt doesn't tend to their knitting. This one could get really interesting, I think.
Yeah, it depends upon which quarterback shows up for Miami, right? Is it, you know, Mr. Tyler Van Dyke, or is it Mr. Hyde, right? Like, who is it? We don't know kind of how good he really is, because last time out versus NC State, he was phenomenal. And I just love the way he threw the ball. I loved his quick release. The ball was accurate. He read coverage as well. And that was not the same quarterback that we saw the previous 2 weeks. It just wasn't. He didn't have that same ability, especially early in the game versus UNC. So, you know, if Tyler Van Dyke comes out and distributes the ball like he did last week, if he's calm in the pocket and he takes what the defense gives him, I mean, it's first this man-to-man pressure defense, there could be some open windows, and he just got to find them.
I want to go to the other side. Here's Pittsburgh, right? The nation finally paying attention. Kenny Pickett, Heisman conversation. The Panthers in the top 20. coming off the emotional win, knocking off Clemson, taking care of business. Crowd was great. People were into the game, which was great to see. You go off this high, Mark, and you've lived this world. Now, all of a sudden, there's a different expectation. Pitt's in the driver's seat. We're late October. Big bad Miami comes. They've known each other for a long, long time. What about the mindset? Pat Narduzzi this week talked about, you know, we've got a mature football team. We're going to find out, aren't we, on Saturday? We're going to find out this week how they handled success.
Yeah, we're going to find out this week. And it's interesting. I feel like this week they'll probably be okay. You know, I've been in this situation before. When I was at Boston College, we were ranked number 2 in the country. We got that ranking. Then we played number 8, Virginia Tech, the next week. And there was no letdown because we knew the challenge. I think when you look at this Miami team, you know the challenge. I think my real question is, how are they going to respond if they get this win versus Miami? How do they respond the following week? Do they start patting themselves on the back, being like, hey, you know what? We really are this good. We beat Clemson. We beat Miami. We're on a roll. So I look for them to come out strong in this game. I really do. I think that Pat Narduzzi does have a veteran team. I think Kenny Pickett has been playing at, yeah, just this quality all season, and he's had the confidence of an NFL quarterback for 2 seasons now. So I think they're going to come out strong. I think the real question is, are they going to have Izzy Abanikanda, and are they going to have their star wide receiver, Addison, on the outside? And
right,
if those guys are back, then really all systems go for Pitt. If not, they do have guys. I mean, you just look at Trey Tipton. It's in his 7th year. I mean, how many wide receivers are in their 7th year with the same school? And you look down the list, they have guys to catch the ball. So my biggest concern is going to be really next week. I think they're going to come out strong against Miami, and I think the defense is going to be flying around as well. So I love the way Pitt's playing right now. But you're right. It just sinks in a little bit. Every now and then it sinks in saying, maybe we are really this good. And that's what you really got to watch out.
Mark, I'll ask you this as a guy that tried to get these guys on the ground. Where's Kenny Pickett catch your eye?
Yeah, really, to me, it's not only his ball placement, because it's fantastic. It's his comfort in the pocket. I've noticed so much better comfort in the pocket this year from him, where last year you needed to roll him out. You needed to have him run the ball, take that first hit for him to feel really comfortable in the system. This year, I mean, he'll sit back there. And this offensive line is so good because they've practiced together. They've got 4 guys that all played together before, and then you add one transfer in from Maryland. They're such a cohesive unit. And Pickett's feeling comfortable in that pocket, finding his receivers, going through his entire read system before he pulls the ball down and runs. So you have to be really good in coverage. You have to match them tight. And if I'm Miami, I'm pressuring early and often, because you know Kenny Pickett's going to make completions. You don't want it to be 10, 15, 20 yards downfield. Make it that 5-yard completion, then try to tackle him, even though Miami can't tackle anybody.
Mark, we saw Florida State finally get their first win. Haven't lost since. They're on a good roll. They feel good. They got momentum. Miami finally got their first win against a Power 5 team, and it was a terrific win knocking off NC State over the weekend. Do you get a sense, as talented as they are, with all the close calls, now that they finally got that behind them, which was a huge win for Manny Diaz and this team, that maybe they play loose and relaxed and free? And if so, what kind of problems could that cause for Pittsburgh?
Yeah, so if they do play loose and relaxed and free, I think that they have a great shot. My real issue with this Miami team right now is just their youth. You look across the entire defense, they have 2 true freshmen starting at safety now that Bubba Bolden's down. They have freshmen at cornerback, defensive line. I mean, there are freshmen all over the board on that defense. And so, yeah, you try to play loose, but it just becomes difficult to do. We talked to James Williams this week on the phone, the starting safety, the freshman for Miami, and he said, look, I just got to stop thinking out there. I mean, there's so much new for these freshmen, especially on the defensive side of the ball for Miami, that they think the entire play. And you just got to stop thinking, and you got to go and react and use your physical abilities. So, when you take a 5-star safety and you give him too much to think about, he plays like a 2-star safety. And so getting their heads cleared and focused on this game and just saying, look, we're going to go out and play loose, like you said, and play free, they can be really, really good. But that's a big question mark.
Well, the Williams kid, you're right about the youth on that side. I think the one refreshing piece of this is, a week ago, they lost Cameron Harris in the Carolina game, And I thought Jalen Knighton was fabulous for him the other night against NC State, Mark. Not just running the ball, and they clearly designed some stuff for him at running back pack, but they also threw the ball to him pretty efficiently, I thought, as well.
They did, and I think he has a really good skill set for catching the ball in the backfield. He's really good at finding the holes, being patient. This is a patchwork offensive line. You know, they have had tons of different offensive line combinations. I think they're starting to settle into their guys, and Jalen Knighton used that. He used it really well. And this is another point of mine about Tyler Van Dyke. He not only has last week threw really accurate footballs, but he threw very catchable footballs. They weren't all rockets, and especially that one wheel route to Knighton that he ran down the sideline that he caught, for that big gain. I mean, that was a perfect lofting pass that turned over right at the high point, fell down, tipped down right into Knighton's hands. And so when you throw balls like that, running backs love it because they can catch and they can run. And you're right. Those two, that connection, that was impressive last week.
I tell you what I like. I like quarterbacks that talk it and then walk it. That's what I like. You know, because a week ago, Van Dyke's talking about, well, last year we did this and say, hey, we'll beat these guys. I'm thinking, wow, man, for a team that's 0-4 against Power 5 and here comes big, bad, mighty NC State and their physicality – he was great. I mean, no turnovers, 325, throwing the football, did all the great things. And, of course, you know about Kenny Pickett. He's been around the block before. I mean, anybody that wins his biggest game and says, hey, it's time for a cold one, you know he's got things totally under control. So, I know as an old linebacker, Mark, there's nothing worse than a cocky, talented quarterback. But I think both these guys, again, we know about Pickett already. He's proven his worth. But I think Van Dyke's going to be really, really good.
I do too. I really do. And you wouldn't have known it before last week, right? He said those words and everybody looked at him like, oh, okay, you better back it up. And he did. And I don't know whether, you can see any given Sunday, Willie Beeman needed to throw up in order to make him play well. I don't know whether Tyler Van Dyke needs to talk a little smack to have him play well. Whatever it is, do it again. And it's interesting. You talk to him and you hear him afterwards being like, I didn't really mean it. I didn't mean it. It's like, bro, you meant it. Play with it. Go with it.
Hey, by the way, and I want you to put your former headgear back on a second. When you know there's a quarterback that's kind of got that cockiness to them, that confidence that, hey, I can squeeze it in any window, as a linebacker, did you like that or did it just tick you off?
I liked it because I would stand across the ball from him with my face paint on and said, oh, yeah, you want to talk that smack? Here I come.
I knew
it. And I would come and I would get him and then I would plant him in the dirt. And I would bury my shoulder into him because we could do that back then. And I'd push down a little bit harder. And I'd say, you can't talk now, can you?
See, this is my favorite part about visiting with Herzlick.
I love
it. Is we got this nice guy, the beard, now we got
wholesome,
kids.
Clean cut
guy. We
got
kids. We got, the hat on. We're working out. I remember the cat with the eye black. That's who I remember. I remember the cat with the eye black terrorizing the league. See, that's the problem I have here, is that it's been like this transformation. I mean, I hear kids rolling in the background at the house this morning, all this. I mean, that's not the Herzlick pack. The Herzlick had the eye black and B.J. Raji and all the other cats that you rolled with. I mean, holy smokes, dude. You can't turn the light on and off like that on me anymore.
We had some crazies. We had some crazies on our team. I tell you what, if you want a good defense, you got to have some good crazies on your team. And we crossed that white line, forget about it.
Yeah.
It was over. We took all our common courtesies and threw them out the window, and we just destroyed people. And that we loved doing it. And then we walked back off the field, and we said, okay, now we can go hug our families and go back home and take a nice shower and cool down.
I want to get back to this game quickly, though. We've touched on the main characters. Give me the one underlying part of this game that folks would really pay attention. If Miami's going to pull off the upset, they need to do what?
They need to get the ball to Charleston Rambo downfield. And I think that's going to be a big key for them. How well can Pittsburgh match up with Rambo one-on-one on the outside? Because there's going to have those opportunities. You know that they're going to put them out there in space. And it's going to be, okay, Tyler Van Dyke, can you complete those balls downfield? Can you take a couple shots to loosen up the pressure and the seven men in the box, eight men in the box that Pittle display. So I think Rambo is going to be a huge part of this game. And if you can get him going early, it's going to open up some of those running lanes for Knighton.
All right, Mark, I saw the gold helmets last Saturday at Cardinal Stadium. Got to be honest with you, I'm a little concerned about where they might be offensively, especially with upstart Syracuse hosting on Saturday afternoon. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a tough game. It really is, and it's been an issue up front for them defensively, I think. You know, yes, offense has been stagnant. I think that, you know, Dennis Grossell is probably, you know, a better passer than maybe, you know, 40, 50% of the starting quarterbacks in the ACC. He hasn't had a lot of time to do it, and the wide receivers haven't gotten a lot of separation. And quite honestly, they've had penalties that really hurt them. But my biggest concern is their defensive line. They just don't have any depth on the defensive line, and I think Syracuse is going to run all over them. All over. Louisville pushed the defensive line around. It's happened all year. And so if you keep getting guys up on, you know, Jaden Lars Woodby and IGM, they got no shot. So they got to be really, really good and stout and focused on stopping the run.
Kind of like a throwback to the old days for you, huh? A little BC Syracuse, a little something on the hook, right?
I know. That was back in that old rivalry that happened. I remember my last game of my collegiate career was at Syracuse. It was great and fantastic way to win. So hopefully that gives some good juju to that BC crew.
There you go.
Well, hopefully that spurs you on for that Peloton, whatever that thing you're talking about, that exercise regimen before the interview.
Hey,
stuff will get you hurt, man.
I'm still sweating.
Packer is at the cross country championship tomorrow. When you look at Mark Packer, it just screams cross country, doesn't it?
It does.
It does. You know, it's like you can take a plane from one side of the country to the other side of the country. Just cross country pack. I love it.
It's not quite what we're looking for, but that's okay. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not arguing those stinking linebackers.
All right, Hurst. Thanks. Appreciate it. Safe travels, my man. Mark and Chris will be there with Jalen for Saturday at Heinz Field with Miami and Pittsburgh. Huh? Yeah.
Miami Pitt. You know, I, again, we do our look back.
Close.
When Pitt upset Miami in 17 and ruined the party, right? Kenny Pickett's first game.
Close.
It just feels, and I think Rambo can get loose. And, you know, unlike Clemson being able to throw the ball downfield, Miami can.
Brandon Hill, guest of the show.
Got a chance to make big plays. He really does. There's some really, really grab your popcorn kind of games this weekend in the ACC.
Yep. Grab your popcorn when we come back, too. By the way, Tim Hasselbeck coming up at 9 o'clock. But when we come back, a story about life and love and getting through and finding the other side with Pittsburgh wide receiver Trey Tipton. After this on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham from the basement. Get used to it because tomorrow the elements will not be as kind. We will be out amongst them in South Bend, Indiana tomorrow.
That's right.
A partner, he's off to Winston-Salem.
Yeah, Atlanta tonight. Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl event tonight with Georgia Lions Lighthouse Foundation. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, looking for a College Football Hall of Fame.
Excellent.
Yeah. Looking forward to being with those folks. We've got an interesting piece here. Trey Tipton is one of the old guys in college football. He's a super senior by definition, but Mark Whipple refers to him as old man Tip. Why? Well, Trey's been around a long time, and part of the reason he's been around a long time is he's had four season-ending injuries in his football career at the University of Pittsburgh. Some of that has taken a tax on him mentally, and he's had to fight through that. And this is his story of his own personal journey and the impact he hopes to have with others.
This is really well done.
Mm-hmm. I never could get away from the darkness. I don't know enough, I don't have enough, I can't control enough. Why am I here? What's the point in life? I could just cut my wrist right now and end it all. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. I used to just think that it would be easier if I just wasn't here. What are you gonna do with that, Trey Tipton? Man, from when I was like 7 till I was 23, thought about it every single day. Every day. There wasn't a day that slipped my mind that I didn't think about ending my life. My early childhood, man. There's a lot of difficulty at times. We were always just trying to make a way, trying to figure out how we were gonna get to the next level of life and just be able to just feel happy and to feel successful. And then as I got older, I just consistently started seeing death over and over and over again. I got very scared to love people. I got scared to love myself. I got scared to love my mom. I got scared to love my dad because I felt like anytime I would love on somebody, they would go away, they would pass away. I didn't like to feel pain at the time. I remember realizing that I was going through depression at an early age in my life.
Eyes up, A step.
Next one here is Trey Tipton, wide receiver from Apollo Ridge High School. A guy that just lights up every room that he walks in as far as character goes.
Football and sports became my safe haven. It gave me a place that I didn't have to think, I could just be me.
Y'all great because y'all prepared for greatness.
I didn't have to be in pain. I could just go play.
Trey Tipton. End zone. Touchdown. Trey Tipton on the catch.
Depression is like a dark coat that you can legitimately never take off. That setback reverted me back to my mindset, like, nothing's ever gonna work. Life is too tough. And football wasn't going well. I felt really lonely. And I just remember saying to myself, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. There's nothing you could tell me that's gonna make this life better. And I walked the whole way to the bridge until I got in front of the football stadium. And I just remember feeling like a failure and just looking at the bridge. I climb on the other side of the bridge and I look at the water. And I think to myself, yeah, I could do this right now. And everything would be okay. And I slipped and I caught myself. And then it hit me. You gotta be tired of losing to yourself. I seek professional help. I just vowed to myself from that day that I would never get back to this point, and I was willing to do whatever it took to make sure that that didn't happen. That was when my organization, Love, was created.
Who got my back?
Love stands for Living Out Victoriously Every Day. We created this organization specifically to help student athletes deal with depression, anxiety, and injury through community. It low-key saved me. It saved me from going back into that deep, dark depression because I understood that there was people out there that also feel the way that I do.
We can only be proud of ourselves, you know?
To see so many different people impacted and getting help, it made me really feel good. It made me feel like I was back to me. It gave me a purpose outside of sports. For as long as I've had a phone, I've never had to call my mom more than twice. Something wasn't sitting right, and I can already tell. 10 minutes later, my aunt called me, "Get here now, your mom's not breathing." Ugh. She had a heart attack in her sleep. The one person I rely on more than anything is no longer here. It'd be doing her a disservice to give up now. I had to learn how to pull back from that thought process that every single time something bad happens, you don't have to directly connect it to death. I just began to attack my mental health, and I began to attack myself on how well I wanted to train and how hard I wanted to train. getting on the bridge is always tough. But that place now is a place of peace. It's a place where I've actually accomplished something bigger than anything that I've ever faced. So I think that my story gives hope. Because if they could see the darkness and see how I see light, maybe, just maybe for a second, they could see light in their own life. That's what I think my story is, hope.
Trey Tipton and the Panthers host Miami at noon Saturday here on ACC Network. He is a fascinating guy and, as you can tell, a great story. So amazing work done by our folks, and thanks to everybody for putting that together.
I was going to say, if you're sitting on the couch like I am on Saturdays, there were two pieces with ACC flavors to it.
Yep.
That piece and the piece we played with Sam Hartman, which appeared on College Game Day
right.
on Saturday, were really, really great. And, you know, like I said, these student-athletes put in the work like crazy.
Yep.
And when you have a ticket, you have a right to go to the ball game, root on for your team, you know what? Understand the work that's done behind the scenes to entertain all of us. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always go great, but keep that in perspective.
Yep. Tipton and the Panthers host the Canes, part of our triple header at noon on Saturday here on ACC Network. We go to the Power Hour. Ja'Cory Roberson of Wake Forest will be here bottom of the hour at 9:30. But when we come back, they go under the lights in Raleigh on Saturday night. Louisville and NC State. Tim Hasselbeck will be there. Tim joins us next in the regular 9 o'clock Thursday spot. Next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.